A badge of honor. Police officers and first responders wear badges to let their communities know they are here to protect and serve. But that's not how it feels today. And the stress of the job is taking its toll, taking lives through suicide and post-traumatic stress injury. A Badge of Honor podcast features the cast of the same name, Sam Horwitz and John Salerno. Sam, John, and the team offer the first responders workshops through their critical incident stress management teams and mental health liaisons to offer state-certified TCOL credit programs that save lives. It's time to smash through the stigma. It's time to heal from your injury, and it's time to back our blue. Welcome to A Badge of Honor podcast. Here are your hosts, Sam Horwitz and John Salerno.
Hey, welcome to A Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam. Man, on these days, it just keeps getting hotter and hotter. Sam, how you doing out over there in your neck of the woods?
Hey, we're at cool front. It didn't reach triple digits today. But you know what? You know what is hot? I have to say, everything that's been going on these past 2 weeks, it's just been a tough time, particularly, you know, for our friends that we have coming on the podcast today, as well as right here in Dallas, lost a longtime officer. Details are still coming out, but if you tune in like you do each week, first, you're in the right place, because we're bringing solutions to you. We're bringing you, you know, people, stories that hopefully resonate with you, so that if you're finding yourself just feeling off to the complete feeling of overwhelm, reach out. If it's not to us, reach out to our guests, reach out to our past guests. We're all here. You can scroll down on our website, abadgeofhonor.com. Click on it. You have a phone number. Know that you are not alone, and that we are always thinking about everybody, all of the first responders, our veterans out there. You don't have to struggle by yourself. John and I, and so many, every week we're wearing these shirts. You are not alone. You absolutely are not alone in this. So many people have been and are where you are. And, John, we're dedicating tonight's podcast, this episode, to the memory of Nicole Ford. She was, she was a joy. I mean, if you got to see the movie PTSD 911, she was a life changer. Her story resonated with so many people around the globe that have gotten to view the movie. We'll be showing a trailer as part of the podcast tonight. And John, I think this is a perfect opportunity to bring Conrad and John on, if that's okay with you.
Doubt. So bring them on. The film director and producer. We welcome John Conrad and Conrad Weaver and John Peterson. How are you guys doing? Patterson.
He took the rest of his name away.
I know John Peterson, so I said John Peterson. John Patterson. Welcome, guys.
We're doing great. Thank you so much for having us on the show. Appreciate it.
Oh, it's amazing to have you both on the show. You both of you are an integral part of the mental health community. You really bring forth so much that many people don't see, you know. And with the movie that came out, Conrad, we're going to be talking about that. I had the first time to view it here in Garland, and it was so impactful. My wife saw it, and she, as much as she knows about post-traumatic stress through my journey, she learned so much more hearing it from other people. And going, wow, I never knew that, you know. So it brings forth so much information to all our first responders, our veterans, and to anybody else who is really battling any type of stressful situation.
Mm-hmm. You know, I had someone tell me here a while back, actually it was on our bike tour. I forget what city it was in. And they said that, you know, I'm dealing with my own PTSD. Why do I need to come watch someone else's? And I thought, well, you got a point, but perhaps you'll learn something from someone else's journey. Maybe you'll learn some things that you can do to maybe impact you in a better way. And so that's, I think, the treasure of the film is that there are multiple stories, multiple perspectives, and there are some solutions that we address in the film. And I think everyone can learn something from this project. And so thank you for bringing your wife, because I think sometimes the spouses of first responders, you know, they see it from inside, and sometimes getting it a perspective from someone else is also helpful.
Well, you showed the relationship side on a lot of the first responders, and she, you know, she may be jaded because of me, you know, and she's too close to me. So when she hears it from somebody else, she's like, now I really know what you're going through. I see it. I see certain things that they're going through, or certain actions that I take, my either angle or shutdown. They're like, she recognized it, which I think helped her, because a lot of our spouses do suffer secondary post-traumatic stress from us as first responders because they don't know how to deal with it.
Right.
So you brought that, you really brought that to light, and I got to thank you for it. It really helped everything in my life.
Well, I think family is important to first responders. You know, most first responders have a family of some kind, whether they're kind of blood relatives or blood family, or they're friend families. And I think that those are important to show that, hey, it not only impacts the individual who is the first responder, but it can impact the circle of friends that are inside that circle. And so that's important so that they know, hey, there is help. There are ways that of dealing with this that you don't have to go. You don't have to suffer. You don't have to suffer alone. And I think that's when Maddie's wife Moose, that's her nickname, but we call her Moose. When she talks about her journey, and then at the end of the film, she talks, hey, I know there are other fire wives out there who may be sitting in silence, and I think that can speak volumes to. Yeah, there are people who are sitting on the sidelines in silence, afraid of saying something.
Yeah,
but it's time to not be afraid, but to step forward and to ask for help.
Yep,
absolutely. And you talked about impact, and for those of you guys watching or listening, this may be the first time you're hearing about PTSD 911. We just dove in the deep end. Conrad, you are no stranger to making documentaries. You're an Emmy award-winning filmmaker, director. Tell us a little bit about your background, and how you found yourself diving into the world of first responders.
Yeah. So I'm a filmmaker. I produce documentaries, and I've been doing this since 2010. It's a interesting way of making a living. You don't get super rich doing this, but I have a rich life, and I get to tell stories that matter. And that's kind of my motto, is I find stories that matter, that are stories that are perhaps undertold or not told at all. And I dive into those cultures, into those stories, and to tell them, to explore what happens with these different groups. And the PTSD 911 really came out of the previous film, which was a story about the opioid crisis. And I was doing ride-alongs with law enforcement, with fire and EMS services. And we were on a fatal overdose one day. And on the scene, the body was laying there. It was shocking to me as a citizen, as just someone observing who has never experienced that. But the first responders on scene were like, it's just Tuesday. You know, it was just like a normal thing for them to experience this. And so that got me thinking about how trauma impacts first responders, and started doing the research and uncovered this whole issue. And 3.5 years later, we had a film that told that story. And so, I get to hang out with first responders. I feel that they take care of our communities. They serve our communities, and I think our communities are better when first responders are healthy and are able to respond in healthy ways. Someone said recently that unhealthy first responders make unhealthy decisions, and I think that's so true. And so it's become my passion to help first responders get to a better place, and to perhaps inspire change in agencies that are sometimes slow at making changes. You know, someone said recently, at an event I was at, and they said, we're just waiting for the chief to retire so that we can finally do something.
We've heard that before.
That is so bad. You know, when you have to wait on someone to retire in order to bring wellness and health, you know, focus into your agency, that's a problem.
That is a problem.
Yeah.
And we want to make a difference with our film. Hopefully we can make a difference to kind of move the needle in the right direction to make progress on that issue.
And if it wasn't enough of a project to, you know, took years to make, you decided, we're like, we got to even go bigger. You did a coast to coast bike tour for first responders. John Patterson is involved in that. We got to take our first break and we're going to come back. John, we're going to learn more about you and then we're going to dive in to more about the coast to coast. We'll be right back, everybody. You are watching a Badge of Honor podcast on the OBBM network.
Move freely, America, without medical restrictions or penalty. Without medical freedom legislation in place, our rights and freedoms are one vote away from being dissolved. Move freely, America, with one voice, without fear of retribution, achieving a common goal, medical freedom. We the people make our voices heard by connecting with state legislators and engaging a constitutionally compliant medical bill of rights for all citizens. Individually, change is improbable, but as an aggregate, attainable. It's time to act with one voice. My voice.
And my voice.
And my voice.
And my voice.
To protect our freedom, creating one voice that cannot be ignored. This requires your voice, too. Move Freely America. Go to movefreelyamerica.org to find a chapter near you. Plug in, donate, and help our legislators defend our God-given rights under the Constitution. Move Freely America. My voice.
And my voice.
And together with your voice, we're one voice that cannot be ignored. Donate today. Movefreelyamerica.org.
Hey, welcome back to a Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam, with our special guests, John Patterson and Conrad Weaver. You know, if you just missed the beginning of the show, Conrad is the film producer and creator of PTSD 911, the movie. And Conrad, I wanted to ask something before we took a break. We were talking about first responders and the traumatic experiences that they endure each and every day. And you were saying you were doing the opioid crisis before that. You have interviewed, I would say, hundreds, if not thousands, of first responders on the post-traumatic stress level, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you find a common bond between all of them? Like, this, they're all saying the same thing, or they all have that same, you know, what I'm saying?
I think most first responders have a good reason for becoming a first responder. They want to help others. They want to make a difference. They're just like, I just want to serve. And looking at some of the people that I've worked with who have been deeply affected and impacted by the traumas that they've experienced, I've also learned that many first responders, well, not all, but some first responders come from chaotic backgrounds, from, you know, dysfunctional families where there's strife and there's trauma. And so they come out of that thinking, you know what, I want to be the person who helps. I don't want to continue this chaotic mess, but I want to be the person who helps. And I think sometimes that can then lead to, adverse childhood trauma can then lead to, easier lead to more trauma and PTS and PTSI, PTSD among first responders, if those things in the past haven't been dealt with. And so sometimes that's a common thread with a lot of first responders.
Kind of damaged coping mechanisms throughout their life that they never fixed.
Right. Yeah. And so you're bringing people into the first responder world, you're putting them into the academy, and they carry whatever experiences they've had in the past, whether good or bad. And right. So if there have been bad experiences and those haven't been resolved or those haven't been worked on, and then they carry those into the traumas that they've experienced. And like Maddie in the film, he talks about, scenes with children impacted me because it brought me back to my childhood when I was dealing with those type of things. And so I think sometimes I think it'd be great for all first responders to have a therapist. I think that every academy should assign these first responders to therapists so that they can work on themselves, because we serve best when we are serving out of the overflow, when we are giving to others, when we are serving others out of the best part of us. And when we don't have that, then we're serving out of a lack. And when we serve out of a lack, then we start to suffer. You know, if you're pouring water out of a cup, that there's got to be water in the cup for you to pour out of.
Right.
And if there's nothing there, you can't pour out. And I think that's sometimes that, and all of us can deal with that. If I'm serving my wife and I'm taking care of her, but I'm not taking care of myself first, then I'm serving out of a lack of abundance. And I think we need to, all of us need to do the things that are necessary, whether it's seeing a therapist, whether it's going to counseling, whether it's going to AA, whether it's going to whatever it is, we need to work on ourselves so that we can serve out of the abundance and out of the overflow.
Wow. Powerful. Very true.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, John Patterson, tell us about yourself and how you got, what's the word I'm looking for?
Hoodwinked.
Convinced in some way.
Dragged into a coast to coast bike tour.
A 400-mile bike tour.
Well, you'd be surprised. It was pretty simple. First of all, I'll give you a little background. I'm a retired government employee for the DOD. I was a computer engineer and did some management over the years. But I retired in 21. And right before I retired, I think it was like 2 months beforehand, Conrad and his wife, Jody, had me and my wife, Carrie, over for dinner. And we were roasting hot dogs over an open fire. And he said, "Hey, John, you want to go for a bike ride sometime?" And I said, "Sure. Where?" And he goes, "From Oregon to Ocean City." And I said, I paused for a second, looked at the boss for, I was looking more for this. I didn't see any movement. So I said, "I'm in."
There you go.
And literally that's how it happened and quickly he said yes. I said,
well the wife's like, they're not going to do it.
Well, you know, my mother-in-law who followed the trip, she was like, she had a desk she sat at, had all the, you know, what dates we were going to be where, and she was following it real closely. And she kept saying, I kept thinking you'd say, "Nah, we're not doing it." And even when we were out there the first week, she was like, "I can't believe you're doing this." She was just shocked.
Well, John, you even had a coworker who told you you wouldn't last a week.
7 days. Yeah. And I gave him a little comment in one of our early videos, because we all did a video before we started the day. And I told him, I said, "And by the way, Mark," he's probably watching this, I said, "You said I only make it 7 days and we were on day 9.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, take us through, let's switch gears. I mean, you know, John Patterson, you're a DOD contractor, so no stranger to, PTSI, being around those that have been contracted that work overseas that maybe were in the military before. When you knew that this was connected directly to the movie and you were each city that you were stopping in, you know, you were watching, it's not watching a movie, it's putting on a program, and the movie, you know, speaks volumes in different ways to different people. How did you kind of wrap your head around that?
Well, you know, it all started with the premiere. I mean, I really didn't know. PTSD to most people, I believe, is something you think about with the military. And back, a couple of years ago, most people didn't even think of first responders in that light. So when I went to the premiere and got to hang out with those in the film and watched the film, I'd seen it once or twice before we went to Irving, Texas. And just to spend the weekend with the people and got to hang out, it was almost like being with your family. Mm-hmm. They all kind of became siblings, you know. We all kind of hang out and talked and ate together and stayed in Airbnb and just had a great time with them. That's why Nicole's passing was so hard to deal with. But you know, and seeing the movie over and over again and talking to first responders, that was one of my favorite parts of the trip, was stopping in fire halls and talking to the policemen and at the screenings and stuff. Some locations they had both groups there, and we got to actually talk to them on another level, even about somebody that we had met or somebody in first responder families that had some experience, and that, you know, we're still reaching out and trying to help them out. And they kept, you know, one of the police officers, trying to remember, I think might've been Missoula. He was like, you know, keep talking to her, you know, keep reaching out to her. You know, don't give up on her. And we still do. We still text her. And we texted her quite a bit throughout the trip. So,
yeah. And this, you know, for me, to do a bike trip like this, you know, it's been on my bucket list for years, probably 15, 20 years. I've been wanting to do a bike, you know, trip across the country. I was a weekend warrior, literally. I mean, the most I ever rode in a day was 50 miles, and that was pushing it. And so when I was thinking about, okay, how can we distribute this film? How can we get the word out about this film? I thought, well, you know what? There are first responders in every community in our country. Why don't we ride across the country, see it slow, then stop in all these cities and share the film and connect with first responders? And maybe we can even stay at firehouses.
Yeah.
And we did some of that. So we rolled into, I think one of the first ones we rolled into unannounced was in Pomeroy, Washington. It was just near the Columbia River, actually near the Snake River, I think.
Yeah.
And we just rolled into town, tiny little town, volunteer fire station, rolled in. The chief happened to be there. And he was like, what do you need? We're like, a place to sleep. And he was like, we got a room. And we were like, yes, awesome. We got a place to sleep.
Awesome. Well, guys, if you are just joining us, we are talking with Conrad Weaver, the movie director, producer, et cetera, everything around PTSD 911. And now avid cyclist. Got to add that to the list.
Right.
And John Patterson, who joined Conrad, they went together on the coast to coast for first responders bike trip,
3,400 miles.
3,400 miles. We got to take our next break. We will be right back.
Interested in starting a podcast or TV show? Worried about what you'll say and how to keep it engaging? Think you'd like to be a guest on podcast, radio, or TV shows? Hi, I'm Susan Hamilton, owner and founder of OBBM Network, and I would like to invite you to an OBBM media training to get the tools you need for a relaxed and polished performance you'll be proud to share. Our specialized training techniques include role play, voice training, and everything you need to deliver a confident, clear, and engaging interaction. Go to offbeatbusiness.com. Go to the calendar and register for a training that's convenient for you. Dates available now, 214-714-0495.
Hey, welcome back to a Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam and John Peterson and Conrad Weaver with PTSD 911, the movie, and the coast-to-coast bike ride that you guys did. Before we left, we were discussing some of your adventures through that, which made me reflect on the resources. You know, it's not always couch therapy. It is, you know, getting out on the road and moving forward. And you guys heard so much trauma from other people. Secondary trauma definitely comes on to you. When you guys were riding that 3,200 miles, did you have a chance to reflect and just get inside yourself and try to do some healing on that ride?
You know, that was really one of the reasons for the ride for myself personally. You know, for the last two films, I've worked on pretty deep stuff, you know, working on Heroin's Grip and then now PTSD 911. And I really needed a break just to get out and to get outside, to breathe some fresh air, to see the country slow, to just get inside my own head or get outside of my own self. And yeah, this really enabled us to do that. And I like to say that we saw the country slow. We saw things for a long time. You know, you saw a storm and you saw it all day. You watched it, you know, from, you know, 100 miles away, you could see it. And so it was a great experience just to get outside, to experience something different than what the, you know, the day-to-day stress, you know, would be. You know, when our biggest stress was, is the storm going to hit us or not? Or is the truck going to come too close to us this time? You know, that was the biggest stress of the day. And for the most part, those were just brief moments of panic and, you know, fear.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it was
keep pedaling.
Right. Oh, yeah. Exactly. You know, it was just, and it was motivation to keep pedaling. And sometimes the storms we faced were motivation to pedal harder. And we had some really challenging moments like that, that really stretched John and I, even in our relationship, it stretched us. And
oh, yeah,
we, you know, good to say that out of 65 days of riding, we only had one day where we kind of got at each other. And, yep, that was, you know, I expected that to happen more than once, but, yeah, fortunately, you know, we got along pretty good. And, mm-hmm, and when you kind of share life like that, 24/7, you learn to accommodate, you know, you learn to just roll with the flow, roll with the punches. And, but there were days definitely that stretched us. I know, and John can speak to that as well. There was one time we were riding into West Yellowstone and we were facing this massive storm. And that's the picture that we posted with the dark clouds in front of us. And we knew we were going to get into a storm, and it was a pretty challenging day. It took us an hour to ride 8 miles that day.
Wow. The previous ride, the whole day was gorgeous. It was a beautiful day.
It was absolutely stunning. Yeah, it was a beautiful day. It was one of the most, probably one of my favorite sections of the whole trip. Yep. And then we hit that storm.
Yeah.
And
wow.
Well, the one thing I look at is when you just said the challenging parts of the ride. Now, you guys went out 3,400 miles. I mean, no one actually just planned out or saw the terrain. I mean, you can't really know what terrain you're going to hit. So these are challenges that are ahead of you that you guys are accomplishing together. And this is where first responders have to look at this coast to coast and go, you know what? Together, you made this ride happen, right? Mm-hmm. You can't do this ride alone. You know, you'll give up, you'll stop, but you guys fed off each other. And like you said, only that one little thing, but you guys fed off each other. I'm sure both of you gave each other encouragement to keep on going, to keep on moving. You know?
Yeah, we have very similar riding styles. And a lot of times, you know, just like in a race car, you draft off the other cars ahead of you. And we did a similar thing in a lot of the times where we had a stronger headwind and it would get real tiring. And, you know, we could sense that the other guy would back off a gear and then another gear. And then the guy in the back would pull around the front. And then the guy in back had to watch traffic and would notify the other person in front, you know, car back, truck back, big truck back. You know, we had to. You know, try to get as close to the side as we could. But we worked well together, and that probably was the biggest. I couldn't imagine doing the trip alone. Many people do, and we saw people and met them going the opposite direction, which we would never want to go west. East is where we go. But the hills always seemed worse. The downhills were fun for us, but I couldn't imagine pedaling up them. So,
okay. Wow. So you guys didn't do this. You guys had a team with you. I think because I followed you on your YouTube and you posted some stuff on the Instagram. And one of those nights, this storm, you had to go in an RV. So you had a team with you that was kind of looking out for you. And when things got really bad, they pulled you in.
Yeah, we were so fortunate to have a support crew and Lighthouse Health and Wellness, which is now Lighthouse for Public Safety. They came along. They were the sponsor for the ride. And they then 3 weeks before we left, they called and said, "Hey, we're coming with you. We got an RV." And so we were like, "Okay, super." And yeah, there was a day that we were in the middle of Wyoming and we were literally facing two storms that were coming together and right on the road where we were going to be. And we had to make the call. And 30, 45 minutes later, they showed up in the RV and picked us up and took us to our next stop because we would have been in grave danger if they wouldn't have, because as soon as we got into the RV, the wind and the rain hit and lightning was hitting poles right next to us. And it was dreadful. And so we were so thankful to have that support. And they were always across most of the trip. They were always within a couple of hours of us. They didn't ride with us, like, you know, behind us or in front of us. They were just kind of in the vicinity. Mm-hmm. And so if we needed help, they were just a phone call away. And so that was a huge blessing to have Joe and his friend Yvonne with us. And I think they learned a lot too, because it was their first time RVing. And
it was a learning
experience for all of us. But I will have to say this, that there were days when things were really hard. You know, we had one day, a 12-mile climb up to the top of this mountain range, and it was really difficult. And I reminded myself and John, that, you know, we're doing this and our difficulty is just for a couple hours.
Yeah.
You know, it's a challenge that we're facing that we have to push through to get through it. First responders who are suffering from PTS, PTSD, PTSI, they deal with this 24/7. It's a never ending battle and journey. And I said, you know, we can deal with this suffering and pain for a few hours, Because then we'll be, you know, sitting in the RV or sitting in the hotel room, going down and getting a steak dinner at the restaurant. You know, we'll be all right. But these guys and gals that are out there suffering, it does go away, you know, once the day's over.
But you know what? It does. If, you know, the challenges are always there. And you just brought up a great point, John. Every first responder looks at that hill. And that hill is PTSD, right? And you go, I'm not going to make it to the top. I'm not. But once you get to the top, and as long as you have the support of somebody like you had the support of John, right? And this is where it all comes together. Is like, I can make it to the top of that mountain. There is no mountain I can't climb if I have that support network with me and pushing me and challenging me. Because then when I get up there, I can breathe easy. Yes, there'll be another mountain, maybe a little on down the road. But you know what? I conquered this one. And it's those little conquests that really heal post-traumatic stress. Because you're like, sometimes you feel, I'm never going to get out of this. This is always going to be. But once you do the small hills and then a little bigger and a little bigger, there's nothing you can't do. And you strengthen your coping mechanisms. You know, so you guys really with the coast to coast ride hit so many different things just by pedaling for mental health.
Yeah, and you were saying you were asking what we were doing for our mental health, and the ride was it. I mean, just being out there and meeting the people and hearing the stories and stuff, it was so soothing just to ride cross country and see the country, like Conrad said, at a slow pace. We got to really enjoy it and take it in. The rest days were very special, but the next day we were like anxious to get back on the bike again. We'd have one day off, and the second day we were like ready to hop on board and go. So
Now you don't have to answer this, but was there any part in the trip, you know, I'm just going transparency, that while you were riding, that you just got into your mind about some certain issue or stress that's been bothering that you were able to relieve and heal of? Is there any one that comes to mind that you thought about during the trip?
For me, I have to say yes. I wouldn't really call it a stress, but it was something that I've been struggling with for quite a while. I've been wanting to write a book, and for the last 4 or 5 years, I had this idea to write a book, but I really didn't know where I would go, how I would do that, what I would write about, and what the theme would be. And this trip clarified that for me. It was an epiphany that I got one day, and it was just like, that's it. That's the story. That's the thing I got to write about. And now it's on my calendar. Every Friday morning, I'm writing. And
very good.
My goal is by the end of this year to have at least the outline finished and kind of, you know, the bulk of where the book is going. And hopefully within a year, I'll have a book to come out. So we'll see. Yeah,
awesome,
but that's what helped me on this trip, was like to clarify that message and to clarify that story.
That's great. That's great.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, for me, it was the forced exercise diet program, because it was, you know, when you're pedaling as many hours as we were pedaling and burning 4,000 plus calories a day. For me, I was always in good shape when I was younger, and as you get older, you know, you put on some weight. Well, I lost 40 pounds on this trip, and you know, and now that we're back, I took some time off, but now I'm back biking again, trying to get biking in every other day. And on the other days, I try to lift some weights and just trying to get something done. And it allows me to feel more driven, and I want to do more things around the house. We just bought a place near Gettysburg, PA, and there's a lot of updates to do to the yard and the house itself. So I'm getting a lot more done, and I'm feeling more focused on what I got to do. So.
That's fantastic. You have a goal. Hey, we got to take our next quick break. We will be right back with Conrad Weaver and John Patterson. They went coast to coast for first responders. We'll talk about that more when we come back.
All right.
Hi, welcome to Heroes in Action. I'm Ray Amanat, founder and creator of this training system. I originally made it so that everyone can train for free. We have programs for kids, for women, families, and businesses. I'm an author, speaker, and educator on everything that has to do with violence and bullying prevention education. If you'd like more information about who we are and what our programs are, please go to our website at heroesinaction.us or give me a call if you have any questions at 727-314-2534. We hope to see you here to train.
Hey, welcome back to a Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam. We welcome back Conrad Weaver with PTSD 911 the movie and John Patterson. You both did this coast-to-coast ride, which was a healing, spiritual, I'm sure, what an amazing experience. I mean, just following you guys on the internet, I got tired. but, you know, you guys showed and you really brought together that you can't stay stagnant in life. Mm-hmm. If you want to heal. And so many of us fall into this routine of, and Sam's heard me say before, sitting on the recliner, watching Judge Judy eating bonbons and day after day after day, that becomes very unhealthy itself. But that increases your stress levels, your post-traumatic stress levels, because it doesn't give your body a chance to, you know, your chemicals inside your body
stay up here.
Stay up. Mm-hmm. So to get into this ride, to say we're doing it, you did it as a team, and you've proven that you can go 3,400 miles. What was it? 1.1 million pedals.
You said, John? 1.1 million pedal strokes. I have a few other statistics I can throw in here. We did almost 100,000 feet of elevation gain.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's like climbing Mount Everest. Three or four times. Yeah.
Yeah. Four times. Four.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And we did 13 states, 249 hours on the bike seat. Ooh. 249 hours pedaling
my
bikes.
My butt would be killing me.
Well, mine was too for a couple times. We had 14 screenings of the film. We had one flat tire. Our highest peak was 9,658 feet. In the Rocky Mountains on the Eastern Continental Divide, it was 2,392 feet. But yeah, 1,129,555 pedal strokes.
Oh my gosh. I'm thinking about hours in the seat here, because you guys, it's not like you took out your bikes that you had in your garages.
Right.
You got outfitted by an incredible company. And these bikes were something special. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. We are so fortunate to have a bike sponsor from Priority Bicycles. They're a small boutique company out of Manhattan, New York. They create and build bikes that have a belt drive. They literally just have a carbon fiber belt with an internal gear hub that is super smooth, super quiet, and needs no maintenance whatsoever. It was an amazing bicycle. We got connected with them through a mutual friend, and actually my mutual friend, his name is Ryan Van Duzer. You look him up on YouTube. He's a big YouTuber. He inspired this trip. He was the one. I watched him through COVID, and he took he's come across the country three times, I think, once on a three speed, which is just ridiculous. But anyway, he inspired this trip, and he connected us to Priority Bicycles, who gave us these Priority 600 bicycles that were just super amazing bicycles. We're so, so proud of them. We actually then gave one away at the end of our ride. We were raising money to help 22-0, the nonprofit. And if you made a donation to that, your name got put in a drawing. And we actually have a police officer out of Pittsburgh who won a brand new Priority 600 bicycle. And so we were very thankful for that. But yeah, probably the one pain point was the seat. As you can imagine, sitting 249 hours on a bike seat over the course of
I cannot imagine.
I would have one of those little donuts.
Yeah. Really super padded.
Yeah. It's just something you train for. And, you know, something I wanted to say that, you know, you look at this and like, it's a huge challenge. It's a huge monumental thing. And when you look at the big thing and you look at the, you know, 3,400, how in the world can I make 3,400 miles? Well, you can't.
Right.
But it just takes one little step at a time. Mm-hmm. Right. It takes one training day at a time. And we train for this for months ahead of time. Yeah. By, you know, the first week of training, we really just rode maybe 20 miles and just went out and rode, you know, took a day and rode 20 miles. And then the next week we upped that to maybe 30 miles. And we built our resilience that way, 1 week at a time, 1 day at a time. And by the end of our training, before we left on our trip, we actually rode 100 miles one day. And wow. That 100 mile day also was almost 5,000 feet of elevation. It was a lot of climbing. We live here in Maryland where there's mountains and hills. And so we wanted to make sure that we could do this thing. And it was more miles in a day that we ever did on the bike ride. I think, John, what was our
next closest was 94.
94 miles was our longest day on our bike ride. So we proved that we can do this by riding 100 miles, you know, before we left. But, mm-hmm. you know, if you try to do this and you think, I'm just going to go out on a bike and ride across the country, well, you're going to fail.
Yeah.
But you can do it one step at a time if you get ready for it. And it's like that with anything.
And if, I bring you up our first responders that are listening, our first responders are our veterans, or anybody that's battling any type of post-traumatic stress, it's one step at a time.
Yeah.
You may not, you know, you have to keep going. You have to take your little steps. You may not like your therapist, get another one. You may not like therapy, go to equine. You may not like equine, go to canoeing. But you have to take it slow. One, don't give up. Just keep moving forward, and you'll see things will start becoming easier. And you'll hit that 100-mile mark. You'll hit the 200-mile mark. But it's, you can't get frustrated. I know with first responders, we're programmed that if we don't have it now, it's not working, right? It takes time. Years of stress do not get wiped out in two sessions. You have to take each day one at a time, like you guys did training with the bike. Post-traumatic stress therapy is the same way. It's training for those little hills that you're going to have to get up and the bigger hills. So don't get frustrated. Be patient.
And there's kind of a parallelism. When we were first ride out of Astoria, when we drove from Portland out to Astoria, we got a great ride from Mike and Sequoia. They gave us a ride out there, picked us up at the airport. They came up from California. They're also first responders. But they gave us a ride out there. And as they drove over the two ranges to get to Astoria, we were in this car and I was thinking these hills were going to kill us, because it just like with PTSD as being that monumental thing in the distance that looks so big and you're not going to be able to get over it. We rode our bikes to this PTSD mountain and it didn't look so tough once we started attacking it. And, you know, we worked our way up it and worked back and forth and helped each other to, like, I attacked hills sometimes and Conrad would have to pull up back on the choker to get me back in line. And we worked real well together to work and get up over those mountains. And they just got to get the help like we did, helping each other to mount those things and actually get over them.
And then we had help. We had one hill. Actually, day two was going to be this monumental hill. It was just crazy steep. And we went out to lunch, and at lunch there was a fire chief was sitting there.
Yeah.
So guess what we do? We strike up a conversation. Hey, chief, we're doing this crazy ride for first responders, and tomorrow we're going to go up this big hill here. He says, actually, you don't need to go up that hill. There's a way around it. Oh. And he gave us the secret way around it, which was it had some hills on it. Yeah. But it didn't have this massive climb, and it had some beautiful scenery. It had through a river valley and just through the forest. And we thought we saw Bigfoot up in the woods someplace, you know, there's a couple places like that. But it was like, sometimes you have to listen to the people around you who've been there.
Yeah.
Who've experienced that.
Yeah. There are so many parallels on the PTSD journey.
That brings me right to the picture of Checkmate in France. Yeah,
exactly.
There's always one more move. Mm. And you guys went around that. You know, you didn't have to eat that mountain. You went around it because someone told you. God, it resonates so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, we got to take our last break. We are talking with Conrad Weaver and John Patterson, who just did an amazing coast-to-coast bike ride for first responders. We'll be right back after these messages.
To the Health Engineer Show, I'm Kurt Buechle, the Health Engineer, right here on the Upbeat.
Hi, I'm Larry Gordon.
Hi, my name is Susan Hamilton, and you're watching Up.
Coffee. Hi, this is Doreen Milano. Welcome to Big Ideas Small Business, where we will be talking to Terry Arjala.
Hey, welcome back to A Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam. We are with our guest, Conrad Weaver and John Patterson, talking about the Coast to Coast 3,400, 1.1 million pedal steps, and a whole bunch of other statistics that you guys did for our first responders to help battle post-traumatic stress. We're talking about the physical aspect of traveling 3,400 miles, the training before that. But how about each day's conditioning, your food intake, and stuff like that? Because that all plays a huge role in how far you're going to get. Yeah. So was there certain dietary things that you guys did and
yes,
make sure?
The diet was eat anything that's available.
and eat a lot of it.
And a lot of it. It was ice cream almost every day. At least we look for it. Only because we were burning so many calories.
Yeah.
You know, if I would eat that now here, the camera is not wide enough to put me in the frame, I think, if I'd eat that now. But yeah, we had to eat a lot because there were days if we didn't eat enough, then we'd bonk, what they call bonking. You'd hit that, you burn up all those calories and now you don't have anything more. And it's kind of like what I said earlier, if you have to serve out of a full cup, and if we didn't put in the calories, we couldn't burn out off the calories, and we didn't have the energy to do the hills and do the long days. And so the day to day was we took a rest day approximately every 10 days. We took a day off where we didn't get on the bicycles. That was intentional so that we could kind of rest our bodies. I think that's important in life to take a break, to take a moment and take a minute and catch your breath. And we, in fact, when we have our film events and we screen the film, I tell the audience at the beginning of the film, if you need to step out and take a break and take a breath, please do that. And I think we need to learn to do that for ourselves, on a regular basis. And that's something that I'm working on personally, to step outside of this little office where I'm in right now. I step outside on my back deck every day just to take a moment and to take a break from my mind, from my activities. And I think that's something that, I really learned on this trip that, we have to take a break. We can't just keep going, because that's when you really hit the wall. And then
we run out. We run out of that. Our cup runneth empty.
Yep.
And we did have some energy gel packs and stuff like that, that we initially on the trip, we started taking breaks every 10 miles. We would take a break every 10 miles. And if it was just for a couple minutes, just to get off the saddle a little bit, do some business in the brush, or, to get something to eat and get a drink. Cause sometimes when you're riding and you're pedaling so hard, you don't think to drink. So we had to remind each other a lot. You're drinking anything, make sure you drink something. But it was that. And even in the evenings, we were out by 9:30, sometimes 8:30, depending on how hard the day was. And naps, I never was a nap person. Now I take naps, because on this trip, we took naps. If we finished like at noon or even at like 2 or 3, we would take a nap before we go to dinner. And we still had no problem going to bed at 9:30. So
it all comes full circle.
Yeah.
Your food intake, your hydration, your rest, and then, on top of that, your physical endurance, you're pushing each other. This is all in your book now, man, because it resonates perfectly on every aspect that first responders who are battling go through each and every day in your patrol car, on a fire truck, at a 911 console. Mm-hmm. You're battling. These hills look rough, but they are only as rough as you want to make them, right? You're strong enough to get over them. And it just takes a little bit of conditioning, a little bit of resource, and a good partner to bring you through it.
Absolutely.
Some days are going to be hard, and, you got to take a break even on a climb sometimes. We had to take a break, and that's very similar to, if you're having a rough day, you have to take a break and then get back on it again.
Absolutely. Yeah. So where can people see videos and stuff that you did of this Coast to Coast tour, pictures and stuff like that?
Yep. Our Instagram, our YouTube channel, our Facebook pages, our social media accounts is where you can find them. We're actually going to be working on a YouTube mini series of the whole trip. We got video of every day, and we're going to put together a little YouTube series that will be coming out sometime in the next couple of months. So check it out. PTSD 911.
Looking forward to
so that's the handle. So PTSD 911 on all.
Just Google that. PTSD 911 movie. Is the Instagram handle, YouTube, and all that. So yep.
Well, that's it. I encourage everybody, you know, just as to watch you day to day and to hear the impact that the day had on you, the impact that viewing the movie with first responders had on you guys and the crowds that came out and what they got out of it. It's just amazing. And again, as we started tonight, you know, this tonight's podcast is in memory of Nicole Ford. You know, go to PTSD 911 movie, watch the trailer. Nicole's in the trailer. And then if you have the opportunity, go on the website, PTSD911movie.com. Go see this film. This is not a film that's just for first responders, first responder families. The public needs to understand this whole concept of what PTSD looks like in people that are serving them every day. Because remember, you pick up the phone and call 911 on your worst day. You need to understand what these folks go through. And time again, we've heard that the impact has been great on the first responders, but even greater for those that are either practitioners or not connected to service at all, just to understand the mindset. Thank you so much, Conrad Weaver and John Patterson, for coming on, for talking about what you guys did for the Coast to Coast bicycles trip for first responders. And of course, the movie will be keeping track of you again on social.
Yeah, well, really, really appreciate you guys having us on. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We appreciate
you. Anything we can do, please reach out.
Absolutely. Don't gain that 40 pounds back.
Yeah, don't do that. I'm sure. All right, you guys. Thanks so much.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Wow, this was amazing. The not only the miles, but the pedal strokes, everything that they did. And there's so many partners that have been involved along the way. The first, when we did the premiere out here in Irving, Texas, we've got a huge event this Friday with NAMI Ops. So the National Alliance on Mental Illness, they've got their first major fundraiser, our peer support. So it's NAMI Ops Clay Shoot. And a badge of honor is so pleased to be involved to sponsor a team of four. There's still time to register. So go to NAMINorthTexas.org. You can find the information on the website. Go and sign up right there. This Sunday, we've got Walk the Bridge happening across the globe. So you can go find out more about that at walkthebridge.org. I just put that up on the website. And then at the end of the month, we've got our workshop that we're doing. Thank you to our partners at Garland Police Department for hosting us once again. If you're a first responder within an hour's plus, say 2 hour drive of Garland, Texas, you want to get to this workshop. Why? Because we are helping you build your wellness and resiliency toolbox. We talk about and give you the tactics, tools, and resources that you need to respond to the stress of the job. And we build that brain-body connection with our amazing John Edmondson from Healing Springs Ranch. And we do a whole afternoon together on the actual tactical skill part of what you need to do to build your resiliency there. Hey, we can't do this without and tremendous partners. Carry the Load. You see it right here every week. Got the flag behind me. We are part of their Continuum of Care partner program. So check out carrytheload.org. If you are a first responder or veteran looking for resources, pop over there. They're incredible human beings. And then, you know, just visit our website as well. They're on our website. Scroll down on the homepage. Lots of resources right at your fingertips. Click on any logo. It'll take you to the homepage because you do not have to do this alone. And for those of you who join us week after week, thank you so much. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. We're across all of the social media, whether you're watching this on YouTube, LinkedIn Live, or Twitter Live. Thank you so much. You can find us across the social media spectrum. Our newest channel is on Instagram. We are on the gram. So go ahead and subscribe there. You can follow us on Facebook. You know, whether you like, you're new to Getter, we're on Getter, we're on MeWe, all of it. So just go and follow us all over so you don't miss a beat. Not only the work that we're doing with first responders, but it's your way to plug into the first responder world. If you go on our homepage, you'll see a floating blue donate button. We can't do this work that we do without you. And I'd be remiss. We got to do a huge shout out to Dickie's Barbecue and Chick-fil-A, who come through workshop after workshop to feed our first responders in attendance. So thank you guys so much for that. For all of the first responders out there, we are praying for you every day. We know what you go through. Please know that we are a phone call away. We are an email away. We are a text away. You don't have to do this alone. We are here. Our partners are here. Take that next step. Like John always says, it's you're never without a next step, right? There's always another move. And for our veterans, thank you for fighting the good fight to allow John and I to do this show each week and talk about this kind of stuff. And for all of our active duty personnel serving around the world, thank you for keeping us safe, our shores here safe. John, take us home.
Well, you said it all, but I just want to reiterate, tonight's show was dedicated to Nicole Ford, one of the first responders featured in PTSD 9-1-1 movie. Our heart.
Oh, I think John froze. Not sure that. Back.
I'm back. Oh, yeah. I don't know what came over, but our hearts and prayers go out to Nicole Ford's family. This show is dedicated to you, all her coworkers, and everybody who knew her. We will always remember you, and just remember you don't have to battle alone.
We will see you next week, everybody. Take care.
Take care. Peace.
A Badge of Honor podcast is produced for the OBBM Network podcast and protected under copyright law. For content permissions, please submit your request to abadgeofhonor.com on the content page. For OBBM Network programming information, please call 214-714-0495 today.